In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
St. James the Elder was an apostle, and together with John, one of the sons of Zebedee. He is different from St. James the Younger, son of Alphaeus, who is also one of the 12. And he is also different from St. James the Lord's half-brother, who probably penned the Epistle of James and who was leader of the church in Jerusalem, as the book of Acts tells us. If you can get the Jameses straight by the end of seminary, you're a better student than me. And so it is James the Elder, the son of Zebedee, who takes center stage in today's text, or at least wants to. "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in glory," they ask. And then our Lord begins to show them how ignorant they are of what glory really is, what glory really means. "You do not know what you are asking. Do you really want to come with me on that road to glory, to drink that cup, to be baptized with that baptism? Because first you have to understand that Jesus glorifies the Father, and the Father is glorified in him." Where? At Calvary. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be lifted up," he says, that is, crucified. "Father, glorify your name." So the glory of Jesus is a cross, and the cross of Jesus is our glory. But they did not seek the glory of the cross, because no one seeks the glory of the cross. Nor is anyone's first instinct to have the kind of God who would be glorified in such a way. "Far be it from you, Lord," Peter says to Jesus, "this suffering, dying, and rising that you predict of yourself, this shall never happen to you." No one wants this kind of glory for Jesus or for themselves. No one wants to go the way of suffering. Neither did James and John. They wanted a worldly glory. They wanted pride of place, distinction, honor, good reputation, a seat at a level exclusive of everyone else, including the other 10. You could apply to their opportunistic canniness what the Lord says about unbelievers. "For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." With them, we have a picture of selfish ambition, which seeks glory for themselves. But with the other 10, we also get a portrayal of another vice, the bitterness of envy. For at James and John's request, the 10 are filled with jealousy and indignation. And that jealousy, that indignation, was no more noble than the selfish desires of James and John. They too desired worldly glory. The 10 didn't want to see anybody else elevated above themselves. They wanted to keep the playing field even. For what could be more bitter than to see a friend, an equal, distinguished while you yourself are passed by? What's tougher than when a friend excels while you are made to watch on the sidelines? They were indignant because they too wanted what James and John wanted. They wanted glory for themselves. But God has clothed himself with humanity, suffering, and weakness. The glory of God is hidden under the humility and the shame of the cross. That is where God has revealed himself to us. And it is a great paradox that the glory of his majesty is hidden under weakness, that victory is found through his defeat, that life is found only through his death. This is not our way of doing things. But this is very much God's way of doing things and accomplishing His will for us. And so what is true for Jesus is also true for you. You are called to suffer, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, to follow me, to seek for yourself not pride of place, but to desire only that God's will be done in your life. Christ is crucified, and we through baptism have been crucified with him. So what does it matter? What does it matter should others be esteemed and extolled more than you? What does it matter if worldly glory, even your 15 minutes of fame, eludes you? Future pastors, if no one will seek your counsel because they are too busy checking out the latest Rick Warren book or praising the pastor down the street who's better at winning friends and influencing people than you, what does it matter? It pleases God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. So what was given to us yesterday is given to us yet again today, to preach Christ crucified, in season and out of season. And though you will have a share in Christ's sufferings, though you will learn to take up your cross and deny yourself, you can go in the glad confidence that Christ already did drink his cup to the dregs. Christ already endured the baptism of fire at the hands of sinners. He has gone before you into all of this, suffering many things before entering into his glory. And nothing can change that. No one can snatch away the glory from the risen Christ, who now bestows the spoils of war on his children. And that cup was for him, bitter gall, that it might be for you the most precious vintage. His baptism was for him a taking of the world's sin, so that baptism for you might be the lavish washing away of sin. So take the cup that he himself drinks, a cup of wrath for him, but for you, the cup of blessing in the Holy Communion. Receive the baptism with which he is baptized, a baptism leading to his death, but a baptism of new birth for you. He gives you the sacraments and thereby makes himself one with you, forgives your sins, adopts you into his family, reconciles you to the Father, and promises you heaven. You may go unnoticed in the world, but you will never be unnoticed by the Father who loves you. You will never be forgotten by the Christ who died for you. And so James went on to be the Holy Twelve's first to die at the hand of Herod Agrippa. He lived the life of humility. He gave his life that others might have the gospel. He was a lamb going out in the midst of wolves as food to be devoured. But in his suffering, the church is blessed, for he is a martyr and a witness to Christ himself. May God in his grace glorify us by keeping us faithful and steadfast through all our crosses, that he may finally shepherd us out of this vale of tears and into the eternal paradise laid up in heaven for his saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.